Accession number 274601,
Mr. Wilkes, Reel 1. When and where were you born, Mr. Wilkes?
Lahore, India.
And the date of birth?
25th of October, 1919.
So your father was obviously living and working out there?
He was at the time. He had been serving with the Durham Light Infantry up on the Khyber Pass during World War I. My mother's people were colonials living out there. They were military people, and my grandfather's parents, her father was, and I suppose my mother met my father, that they were living in Rawalpindi, and then they got married in December of 1918. And I was born in October 1919.
What rank did your father hold?
I've no idea.
So, other than the fact that he served with the Durhams in India, you don't know a great deal about what happened to him or what he was doing.
That's right.
You mentioned the fact that your wife's parents were also had a military background.
My mother's parents.
Your mother's, sorry.
Yes. Yes, they had served in India. They were officers originating from Northumberland. I would love to find out exactly where from. I've got some of their records. We've been in touch with the units that they served with, but they could only give us so much information.
What was her name?
Meredith Young. That was a hyphened name. One was my grandfather, great grandfather, but.
Do you have any record of the military service?
Well, I've got some. Either great or great great.
Have you got any indication of his military record?
I do have this one. I've got two records here. I rather think that this one is my great-great-grandfather. He was John Dobson Young. He joined the 44th Foot, later called the Essex Regiment, on the 16th of August, 1825. Made lieutenant on the 7th of January 1827, captain on the 5th of November 1841, exchanged to the 29th foot 18th of February 1843, Sutlej campaign 1845-46, Battle of Ferrandnesshah 21st and 22nd of December 1845, Battle of Sobraon 10th of February 1846, slightly wounded. He got the medal with clasp Sobraon. He commanded the Grenadier Company 1st of November 1846 to 12th of August 1847, then appointed Brigade Major, Queen's Troop at Fort William, Calcutta. Now, my other relation, and I rather think it would be his brother, was Lieutenant Colonel George Dobson Young. He was commissioned as an ensign on the 6th of April 1819, Lieutenant 26th of August 1825, Captain 21st January 1841, and Major 5th of January 1846. He took part in the following campaigns: Afghanistan 1842, as spelt in those days, and in the army list, the actions of Mazina, Tazeen, Jugdolok, and the occupation of Kabul, now spelt with a K, the Sutlej and Mukdi. He was dangerously wounded at the Battle of Mukdi he transferred to the 10th North Lincolnshire Regiment, but no date is recorded. There is no mention of him in our regimental history, and this is from the Queen's Royal Surrey Regiment Association. There's a footnote on there made by my cousin. She has all those details down. Plus, he was in the Punjab campaign 1848-49. He was Lieutenant Colonel of the 104th Foot Bengal Fusiliers. He was at Chuzney 1839. And then there was he was with the Bengal Europeans at one time. And the rest is what was I've already mentioned.
And you're still looking for information about the...
I would love to trace them right through. I think they've got a history that my children are interested in. They would love to find it.
To come back to your father, was he in the army at the time you were born?
No. No, he had left the army and taken civilian occupation. His family firm were ornamental plasterers in Bailden at the time, and he did pursue a building career in India for a while. I know that when I was baptised, I was baptised in Calcutta because they were living there at the time. And I've just been on a pilgrimage with the British Legion to Northeast India, and whilst we were in Calcutta, we visited the chapel where I was baptised, where the records are still there, just as pristine as yesterday. Now, there was an interesting feature about that visit, because in 1936-37, when I'd left school, my mother had sort of talked me into applying for a job with the Indian police, and it rather attracted me. Her sister's husband was a superintendent out there, and so I wrote to India House wanting particulars, what studies I had to take to qualify. So whilst we were in this chapel in Calcutta, Philip, my son, he turned the page, and there were two letters that had been written from India House questioning my name. And the problem was that when the records had been sent through to India House in this country, they'd put my first name down as Jones instead of James, and my mother's name as Isabella, not Isabel. And these two letters were to satisfy them which was right or wrong.
Quite remarkable after all those years.
Yes, that was what struck my family. And when we'd gone to the chapel, the caretaker went and got the minister, who was more than delighted to meet us, and only wished that we had been able to go there the previous day, because it was Palm Sunday and the chapel was all decorated for all that. And he did say the congregation would have been delighted to have met me. And I'm sure they would.
How long were you in India, actually, in the country itself?
I'm not quite sure, but I know that we came to this country sometime before my brother was born, because I think my father wanted to bring his new wife and baby home. And of course, once he came home, I think the seed of discontent was sown there and then, because the marriage started to fold. And then my mother and I went back to India, to her home, where my brother was born. I think she things being the way they were in those days, I think that she had gone to sort of seek a bit of help from her father, and I think he has more or less said, look, you've made your bed, you'll have to lie on it. And so after my brother was born in 1921, we came back to this country in 1922.
So you'll have few memories of India itself?
A little bit, yes. I can well remember the home where my grandparents lived. I can remember my uncle having something which was very new in those days. He had an Indian motorcycle and sidecar, and he took me for a ride in it. And I was thrilled to bits with the rush of wind, the smell of petrol and oil. It was a wonderful experience. And there was also an occasion when my brother and I were lying out in our cots on the veranda. It was so hot, and we were outside while the rest of the family were at dinner, I would suppose. All I remember, and it's as clear as though it was yesterday, something came sniffing round me and woke me up. And it was a hyena. And I think with me moving or something, it moved over to my brother, to his cot. And fortunately, my mother just came out, saw it. She was carrying a hurricane lamp, and she threw it at the hyena, and it bolted. So that was that.
So your mother's family have been long established English in
oh,
India.
Yes, she was born out there. Her father was born out there. Her mother was born out there. Oh, yes.
Coming to England must have been an enormous change for her.
It was a terrible change because, as you can imagine, living the life she had lived there, with servants to do your every beck and call, coupled with the fact that when she was brought back to this country, she was immediately met with disapproval because I think she was a fashion plate. She was polite and that, but she couldn't cook and she couldn't scrub floors, and that was what she was detailed to do by her in-laws, her sister-in-laws. They were dissatisfied because father had married her, because they already had a friend that they wanted him to marry. And so the marriage broke up. And they didn't divorce, they just separated. And my brother and I were brought up in virtual poverty after that.
So where were you mainly brought up?
In Bradford.
So your mother had you in, took you back to India.
And then brought me back.
Then brought you back again.
Yes.
And what did she do then?
Well, she tried one or two different things. She was musical. She, you might not remember this, but in the early days of silent films, they used to have a musical accompaniment. And she used to accompany some of those films and things like that. And then she played in an orchestra. She played both the violin and piano. She was very talented. She gave us quite a lot of inroads into music, which we loved.
On coming back then, she would set up her own home, presumably.
Well, no, it was a matter of moving from furnished accommodation to furnished accommodation. In fact, well, the day she left my father for good, we saw a solicitor in Otley, and she didn't have much bus fare. After a while, we had to walk, carrying all our possessions. And I don't know where we finished up, but I have a sneaking fancy it was probably a workhouse.
And a dreadful, difficult life. She's been rejected by her own parents, in effect, and by her in-laws.
Yes, but her father did help her out after the breakup. He used to send her so much every month, and that used to help us out. And we moved from one furnished accommodation to another, but we never seemed as though we got our roots down.
And she never, in effect, was invited back to India, to the family?
No.
She had no opportunity to go back?
No. Coupled with the fact that in the 1930s, her family moved to New Zealand because about the time we came back to England, my uncle went to New Zealand and took a post there. Now, he had been serving with the Camel Corps in Mesopotamia in the First World War, and he went to New Zealand, and he got married and settled down there, and it's his daughters have sent me this information. They were researching some of it, but that was that.
Did your father get involved in your upbringing, although he was parted from your mother?
Not really. I can remember one day when we were living in a little place out in the country, and it was a bank holiday weekend, and he was... this person came and would play with us. We were just young children. I would be 7, maybe 8 years old. And we used to go and play down the road at a certain place where we were just out of sight of home. But there was various things. There was the hillside, there was the fields, and we just used to play. And this person came and entertained us this day. And we went home for our dinner and went back again. And Mother was suspicious. But anyway, he went. But then on another occasion, after that, he came and he broke the door down of the house and beat my mother up. And she came to school and asked the school to keep us there till she could deal with things. She was in a terrible physical state. And I remember the teachers shared their sandwiches with us. And she came for us eventually. She'd managed to get someone to repair the door and all that. So that was that.
A very difficult life, not only for her, but for yourselves.
Oh, yes. And you see, lots of children did have fathers, even though it was just after the war and there were plenty of widows and things, but there were lots of men did come home, and there were lots of children our age that did have fathers. But we never had the toys, we never had all the things that they had.
And she eked out a living with her musical...
Yes, she got an allowance from her husband, and I can tell you exactly what it was. She got 25 shillings a week, which was 12 shillings and sixpence for me and 12 shillings and sixpence for my brother. And that had to remain until we were 16 years of age. And but there was nothing for herself.
And growing up with your mother in those circumstances, obviously wasn't very easy, but childhood games, the way a child grows up, was that still part of your life? Did she protect you and look after you, and you
she
went
did,
through as
yes.
normal a life as you can? That's what I'm trying to say.
That's right, yes, we did. But you see, when I went to the grammar school, we could never afford the new blazers and all the attire that you had to have. There was another sting in the tail, because... I had managed to get a job as an errand boy, delivering bread and cakes and things on a Saturday. But you weren't supposed to do it, going to the grammar school, and you could be expelled for it. But I used to have to do it sort of underhand. And no, I'll not bother.
Can you take me through the way that your life was to go or was going at that time from being a child? The places you lived in?
Yes. Well, we were living in a from this place, probably the workhouse, mother managed to get a room in Great Horton Road in Bradford. And she used to go out and work, and we must have been good because she could leave us. We knew there was a landlady downstairs. And whilst there, I know this particular day, we were playing and I fell in the fire, because we didn't have fire guards. And I got all my left arm badly burnt. But the landlady dressed it with Karen oil, and I haven't got a scar or anything. And we moved around. We were like nomads. We never used to manage to get anything stable. And then we got to a house in Thorncliffe Road in Bradford. And it was from there that I started school. And it was there that I saw the first dead person. The little girl next door. She was just a baby, and she died, and I was taken in to see her, and they had halfpennies on her eyes to keep them closed. I've never forgotten it. And I started school at Midland Road School in Bradford, and I can always remember the first hymn we started to learn was "We Plough the Fields and Scatter." Before going to school, I can remember kneeling beside a chair while Mother taught me the Lord's Prayer.
And again, money was really scarce,
absolutely.
How were you clothed? Were you able to buy new clothes?
No, well, very rarely. She got caught up with buying things through these clubs, as you might say, and that was the way we got new things. And as youngsters, at the time when I started school, she used to get sailor uniforms for us with the long trousers and the thick overcoat and the sailor cap. Mine was HMS Warspite, and my brother's was HMS Hood.
Did the other obviously wearing a uniform like that in the area that you lived in? Did the other children were they rather scathing and difficult?
Yes, we had a lot to live with at that time. So we moved from Thorncliffe Road into the next road. Which was Spring Gardens. That was quite a nice house. We were just in rooms, and I remember one of the other tenants, she would show Mother how to cook a proper Sunday dinner, and which was a great help. And then...
Can I just come in there? Because, as you said earlier, your mother didn't know about cooking. She never had to cook, etc. So how were you fed? What food were you eating?
Well, for instance, I can remember her boiling sausages and not frying them, boiling them along with potatoes. She could boil an egg. We got away with that. And I can remember it was a great day, because sometimes when we didn't get our money, then we went hungry. Sometimes for 2 days, and then Mother would get the money, and she'd come back in, and she always had a pork pie apiece for us, which we would have while she made something to eat for us. So that was it.
And you know, she's a courageous lady.
Absolutely. That's her.
Very courageous lady, and under such difficult circumstances.
Yes, very, very. Of course, when you look at the background, would you not say courage was built into her?
Coming to schooling, you started school, I think you said, in Bradford.
Yes.
What are your memories of school life?
It was very pleasant at that school. One little factor, mother made friends with a very nice educated lady who was Roman Catholic, and she persuaded my mother to take me away from Midland Road School and send me to the Catholic school, which was much nearer. I'm afraid it only lasted 3 weeks. I got a terrible hiding this day for confusing the way to spell stork. I put the wrong one down. And I finished up back at Midland Road School. I'd lost position there in the class, and at the end of the year, there was a prize to be awarded for someone who had made the most best progress in the year, which was a quarter-pound block of Bourneville chocolate. Well, two of us were vying with the same points, so it was given to the other man because he had made the most progress. I had lost out two ways. But funny enough, I met that man many years later. He'd joined the same field artillery regiment as me. And when I mentioned it to him, he couldn't believe it. He couldn't believe it. Anyway, that was that. I was back at Midland Road. Another thing was, on my 8th birthday, I got the cane for making a blot on the page.
Discipline in school then was pretty hard.
Oh, it was. Very rigid.
What was your favourite subject, or subjects?
I don't really know. I know history never was. Geography, a little bit. I think probably poetry.
And is there any teacher that's clear in your mind that influenced you in any way?
Oh, yes. The teachers at that school, the headmistress was Miss Milner, a lovely lady. And then there was Miss Sharp, who took the first years, and Miss Watson, who took us until we left to go to a more senior school. What age would I be? Well, third class, something like that. And I went then to Frizinghall School, and it was there that I eventually sat the exams to go to the grammar school.
And you obviously indicated you passed those.
I got that, yes.
Then became the problem of uniform.
That's right.
And were they strict about uniform? You had to have it.
You were supposed to have it, and so we... They did sort of get some second-hand stuff that you could sometimes purchase. We did manage to get some bits new. Some that didn't come from the school thing, but they were so similar that there was no complaint.
And did you enjoy life in the grammar school?
No. It was hard for two reasons. A, we ourselves were very short of money. B, we couldn't afford the proper football gear, cricket gear, anything like that. And I had to bow out of many things that I would have liked to have partaken in and couldn't go. And three, the homework that we got used to take up so much time, and I, by then, had started into a little bit of a business. I had two jobs going. We used to deliver newspapers early in the morning, then we wouldn't be seen. And for so long, we did it at nights. And one Christmas Eve, I bumped into a young fellow I knew, and they'd been selling a lot of pigs, and they'd got a lot of money for Christmas, and they were really going to have a good time. And I came home and I told my mother about who I'd been talking to, because she didn't like us to be out any length of time. She liked to know exactly where we were, what we were doing, etc., etc. Anyway, she came up with the bright idea. She says, well, if we can't afford pigs, she says, what about some poultry? And so I researched that, and we managed to get some poultry and rented a place to keep them. A bloomin' rogue helped us, lined his own pockets, but taught me a lesson. And we got out, but following on from that, I found out I used to go and stand in the marketplace in Bradford, and I used to watch where they were selling poultry, the dressed poultry. And I used to watch this man. They used to come in boxes to the stall, and he used to take them out and gut them and prepare them and skewer them up and everything. And I watched him till I got the idea, and then I started a little business buying and selling dressed poultry.